Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. In Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish the government and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these United States. And to prove this, let the following facts be submitted to a candid world. And after the candid facts are represented, the declaration continues. And as I was reading that, I was just thinking how much that sounds like today. Maybe it's time for us to do the same thing today. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress. And redress is that they right a wrong. We have petitioned for redress in the most humble of terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We've warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We've reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably disrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity, and we must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, to conclude peace, to contract alliances, to establish commerce, and to do all things, all other acts and things, which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ make the same declaration of independence from the sin nature at the moment of salvation. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign as sovereign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, you are under grace. Today we open our lesson with a celebration of freedom, and we honor those men and women all over the world who take a stand for freedom with the courage to defend a nation, just as we believers in Christ have the courage to declare our independence from the kingdom of darkness. We open with a medley of songs in honor of the United States military. Not to forget to teach our children how to be patriotic. And, you know, we have an international audience, so I went away from celebrating holidays like this because I didn't want to be insulting to our international listeners. But I think that there are people who support freedom all over the world. And it's really important for us to remember to celebrate freedom no matter where it's expressed. I have a lot of friends in Australia who are freedom lovers, a lot of friends in Great Britain who are freedom lovers, a lot of friends in the United States who are freedom lovers. And so our listeners all over the place will appreciate wherever freedom exists. And I think what I read from you in the open is the Declaration of Independence. I think you young people really need to get familiar with that document. Some really amazing men wrote that document and put their lives on the line. You have? Good. Read it every year. Because some amazing people put their lives on the line to defend that. And we still have people putting their lives on the line to defend freedom so that we can sit here in peace and worship our Lord when we have brethren all over the world who are worried about who's going to come in and kill them while they're studying the Word of God. So welcome to a place where you can freely study the Word of God because of a group of men and women who show how they love us by laying down their lives for us. And it's the same thing that our Lord Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. Let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song is When I Say I Love You.
Push you aside. There's nothing good or bad about you that would make a difference in what I have to say. My death has made a way for you to be perfect in my eyes. So no matter what, I'm gonna love you anyway. When I say I love you, I'm not giving you hoops to jump through. When I say I love you, I'm not telling you when you blow it, we're through. When I say I love you, I know at times you will be untrue, but I won't take my love from you. 'Cause when I say I love you, I do. When I say I love you, I love you with a love unconditional. It will last forever. My love for you is not emotional. It's part of who I am, and it flows from my integrity. I can teach you to love unconditionally with the power of the Spirit working in you. So when you've been betrayed and even lied to, you can still love others like I do if you want to. 'Cause when I say I love you, I'm not giving you hoops to jump through. When I say I love you, I'm not telling you when you blow it. Times you will be untrue, but I won't take my love from you. 'Cause when I say I love you, I do. When I say It does not envy or boast. Love forgets a wrong suffered. It's not provoked and it does not seek its own. Love rejoices in truth, not in unrighteousness. It bears and hopes all things. It believes, it endures, it prevails. This kind of love never fails. This is what I say when I say I love you. When I say I love you.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Protect those who ensure our freedom. Help us to know the value of freedom. Help us to take advantage of the freedom only you can provide. Help us to free our mind from the desire to control others, to impress you, and instead help us to remember to appropriate all that you've provided in eternity past. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Today's lesson, Romans chapter 3, no one is acceptable to God through his own works. No one is acceptable to God through his own works. First, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. Next celebration of the Lord's Supper is July 13th. That's next week. The Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference of Barah Ministries is August 8th and 9th. John and Monica Miller coordinating. It'll be at the Red Lion Templins Hotel, 414 East First Avenue, Post Falls, Idaho. If you haven't gotten your tickets, let's get on the ball. It's going to be a lot of fun. Get your rooms immediately if you're going, and you can go to BarahMinistries.com for more information and phone numbers under the tab Latest News, 2014 Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference. Barah Ministries is on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook. We're also on Google Plus, I believe. Tracy Bixby is coordinating that. Thanks for setting it up. And if you haven't been there, you should go look. There's some really cool things on the website, leading people to lessons and have things that people can digest. This morning, I think we had nearly 100 likes. So get your friends to like us on Facebook if you're on Facebook. We'll have a prayer meeting immediately after next week's service. Now let's take the offering and let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Thanks. Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. We are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so that you can worship God, but we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no prices appears on any material from Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others. And I realized something this week, that I won the lottery. I was born in America, land of the free, and I have the opportunity to have faith in Christ and have a relationship with God. And that's just a perk of being born in America. And I accepted God at a very young age, and now I have faith in him. And that faith is a victory. And we see that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Faith alone. It doesn't say our faith plus works. It just says faith. And I recently talked to a friend of mine you guys have heard about, Jesse Matteson. And I hadn't talked to him in a while. I was kind of worried, but he had a new phone number, so I wasn't able to get a hold of him. But he called and said that he's doing really good. They actually found 4 tumors during the course of his treatment, and 3 of them were solved through the medication, and the 4th he had recently had back surgery on his back for. And it seems to be coming around really, really well. All the numbers in his blood counts are increasing. The proper proteins are doing what they should. And it's really exciting to hear that, because I know we've been praying for him. And I know Jesse had faith. And another example of that is Van and Jenny. You know, they've successfully started 2 medical colleges and jumped through a lot of hoops and put their desire in God's hand. And I know they've had some struggles at times financially and dealing with the city. And they probably have some trouble with hackers right now. So, you know, keep them in your prayers as well. And, you know, another example of faith is my baby William. You know, he doesn't doubt. He just screams. He doesn't doubt. He doesn't worry that we're not going to come. He knows we're going to come and help him, and he has faith in us. And I think that's the same for the church. You know, the church has gone through its own form of chemotherapy and had its struggles, and we're still here. You know, we've gone through a lot of trials and tribulations, and we're still here. And because of our faith, we know that we have victory. We will overcome this world through Christ. And we really appreciate your giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure to this church. And I know it warms the heart of our pastor to have everybody here, especially the visitors, my nephews. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing to see that it's just faith, and that's all it takes. And, you know, it's like Pastor said, just get out of the way and have faith. And that's the same with our giving to this church. It's gonna overcome everything. So thank you for your giving.
Welcome back, and thank you for your generosity. Today's study, Romans chapter 3, no one is acceptable to God through his own works. I have a question for you to open this session. And this is a question to believers in Christ. Are you righteous? Are you righteous? And if so, on what basis are you righteous? Well, I'll give you a hint. No one is acceptable to God through his own works. What a freeing thought. When we heed the advice of Psalm 46:10, it says, "Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." When we heed that advice, we know that the Lord has done everything for us in the past. We do nothing on our own. We do nothing by means of our own merit. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. On a day when we celebrate freedom, what a freeing thought that we are not acceptable to God on our own merit. So if we are righteous, on what basis are we righteous? Well, we now turn our attention from sin to righteousness as we begin the study of the third section of the book of Romans, which extends from Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to Romans chapter 4, verse 25. And it starts like this, But now, apart from the Mosaic law, the righteousness from God, the righteousness from the source of God, has been manifested. Manifested meaning made known, made clearly visible, being witnessed by the Mosaic law and by the Old Testament prophets. Now, apart from the Mosaic law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the Mosaic law and by the Old Testament prophets. It's clear, in other words, this, it is clear in the Torah, which the Jewish people use, their Bible, the Torah, which is the first five books of our Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And it is clear in the writings of all Old Testament prophets from Joshua, the sixth book of the Bible, all the way to Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, because the Lord makes it clear that righteousness does not come from your works of human righteousness. That righteousness comes from faith alone and the Lord Jesus Christ alone, as we've already seen in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith in Christ for salvation to faith in Christ for everything else. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. So now, this is not just a New Testament phenomenon. This is clear in the Torah, and it's clear all the way through the Old Testament scripture, that it's faith alone in Christ alone for righteousness, the admission ticket to heaven. We see it in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, and this is a precursor to our work in Romans chapter 4 when we get there. Here's what it says, Genesis 15, 6. Abraham believed in the Lord. Abraham is the father of the Jewish race. Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. What does it mean to reckon? Well, you got to be kind of country to understand what it means to reckon. I'll never forget the first time that June came to Phoenix, and she and a pastor's wife, we were at lunch, and you know they were both talking, and there was some conspiracy going on, and then finally June says, "Do you know reckon and yield?" I said, "What the hell are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about." She said, "Well, it's really important. If I'm going to move here, then you need to know, reckon, and yield." I said, I don't know what you're talking about, honestly. But I'll bet you there's some modern-day version of that, that if you translated it out of Topeka and into regular English, I bet I would know what it is, right? Well, what does it mean to reckon? It means to compute, to calculate, to count, to consider, to credit, to regard as. Reckon. So, You know, and in the country, they say, I reckon, right? You ever heard that expression? I reckon. Genesis 15:6, then let's replace reckon with one of those words. Then Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. That's what it means to reckon. So Abraham believed in the Lord. Abraham had faith in the Lord. Abraham did not work for the Lord's approval, but Abraham accepted the Lord as the way. And it was counted, computed, calculated, credited, regarded as righteousness on the basis of Abraham's faith alone. And Abraham was a Muslim worshiping the moon god for 99 years of his life before this moment. So on the basis of Abraham's faith alone, and this happened before the Mosaic law. So Abraham was Jewish and founder of the Jewish race before there was a Mosaic law, before there was a Moses. The father of the Jewish race was credited with righteousness without the works of the Mosaic law because they didn't exist in Abraham's day. So that's what we're going to look at as we move into this passage. Take a 5-minute break and we get back. We'll look into the passage, Romans chapter 3, verse beginning at verse 21. Thank you. welcome back. No matter how many times some believers hear this, no one is acceptable to God through his own works. It does not reckon. It does not compute in their minds. Free gift? Bah humbug. Grace? Bah humbug. Works? Oh yeah. Yet God in his grace has provided us with a so great salvation free of charge. And we still insist on paying by still trying to generate our own form of righteousness, human righteousness, through our works. And no matter how many times we fail to generate our own righteousness, we still think we can do it and that God will credit us with an accomplishment that makes us worthy of standing before him and boasting. But that means we ignore Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which say, by grace you have been saved through faith alone. And that faith is not of the source of yourselves, nor is the grace, nor is the salvation that results from the source of yourselves. It's the gift of God the Father, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. So how does this working, this striving, manifest itself in your life? That's my question for you. How does this working that we like doing show up in your life? What is it that you are working for? What is it you are hoping to accomplish by cleaning up your works? What is it that you're hoping to accomplish by following the law? How is that going to be impressive to a God who says it's not impressive? How is it going to be impressive to a God who went to a cross so that you wouldn't have to do that? Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it says, now apart from the Mosaic law, the righteousness from God has been made known. The righteousness from God, a free gift, has been made known. Being witnessed to by the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law witnessed to the fact that it was righteousness, not from keeping the Mosaic law. And it was witnessed to by the Old Testament prophets. What was witnessed to? A righteousness that comes as a gift from God the Father through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for all those who believe, whosoever. That's where righteousness comes from the source of God the Father. And there is no distinction. The Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness is available to everyone. Why? For all have sinned and fall short of the essence of God. All of us have sinned and fall short of the essence of God. So isn't it great that we don't have to have the same essence as God to have his righteousness? Because he ensured this. See, the Lord has made it clear in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 3, verse 20, that all of us are lawbreakers. That all of us are guilty, that all of us are sinful who come before the Lord. Isn't it refreshing to know that you don't have to run your act with the Lord? That when you meet him face to face, you won't have to go into self-justification about your self-betrayal that occurs because you have broken the law. What is your self-betrayal? You betrayed your own integrity by not heeding the advice of your sovereign. See, that's what we do when we sin. We don't listen to our God. And so we betray ourselves. But he's covered it. That's the thing that we have such a hard time accepting, that he's covered it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1a says this, my little children, this is John talking to believers in Christ, I, John, am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. That's the first thing that God says to us. I don't want you to sin. The Lord doesn't want us to sin because it's damaging to us. But what did the Lord say to the woman caught in the act of adultery? John chapter 8, verse 11. She said, no one has condemned me, Lord. And Jesus said, I don't condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more. He said, don't sin anymore. But he also says, I don't condemn you. Now, what I want to know is, does that thought from the Lord even compute to you? You do something to yourself that the Lord is not doing to you. Believers in Christ, you do something to yourself that the Lord is not doing to you. You sin and you feel like you have to condemn yourself. The Lord sees you sin and he doesn't condemn you. So why would you do that to yourself? Makes perfectly logical sense, doesn't it? But I really want you to answer the question. I don't want you to look at this from a point of view of logic. Why do you do that to yourselves? Now, the only reason we do stuff to ourselves like that is because there's payoff. What's the payoff for doing it? You know, a lot of times it's just that we don't know what else we would do. What would you do if you weren't busy beating yourself up? I remember that line from Shawshank Redemption. You know, you either got to get busy living or get busy dying. And I think if we weren't so busy dying, we'd get busy living. You condemn yourself when the Lord doesn't condemn you. You're listening when others condemn you and believe what they're saying when your sovereign doesn't even condemn you. That was a light bulb that went on in my head. You know, I've had people saying all this stuff to me about who I am. Now, if you want to talk to me about who I am, I'm going to listen to you, right? So you say, Rory, I think you're blah, 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 blah. And the first thing I do when somebody says that stuff to me is I consider the source. Do I think the source is credible? Now, if I think the source is credible, I really spend some time considering what the source is saying. But here's where we fail. You know, what about if the source isn't credible? What if the person who's saying these things to you isn't credible in your mind? Will we give them the same amount of mental attention that we give to people who aren't credible? And as a matter of fact, many times we believe them more. And then we get ourselves into this rut of trying to get them to like us. As opposed to just saying this, you know, I don't have to take it personally that you feel that way. You have the right to live your life. You have the right to view things any way you want to view them, but I don't have to agree with your assessment. As a matter of fact, I don't. So, say whatever you want. Think whatever you want. How do they say it in the playground? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And I think we forget that. You know, the 8-year-olds are saying that on the playground. But I think when we get 58, we forget that. We forget to dismiss all those things that people are holding us to. Are you righteous? You know, because we listen to others. We believe what they say, but our sovereign isn't even condemning us. Our sovereign isn't saying things about us, and he's omniscient. He knows everything about you, every thought you ever had before he ever created you. He knows the depth of your heart. He knows those vicious thoughts that you have, the ones you think about in the shower that nobody else is ever privy to. And he doesn't condemn us. So are you righteous? And on what basis are you righteous? Look, here's the truth. Sin has to be paid for. When you sin, it has to be paid for. And furthermore, when you consider working to impress God, you do it because you know that sin has to be paid for. But unfortunately, you think that you can pay for it. But your payment for your own sins is not acceptable to God the Father. It is not efficacious to God the Father. You think you can redeem yourself. And because you do, you obsess about your sins. Well, imagine this. What if everybody knew everything about you? What if everybody knew your deepest, darkest sin? What if everybody knew the real truth about you? Would it matter in the least? I think it would. You know how? You could relax and you could stop defending yourself. You could relax and you could stop covering yourself. You could take off the mask, and I assure you that when you do that, you won't know what to do with yourself. What would you do if you just took off the mask? What would you do if you stopped lying to yourself about this illusion of control that you think you have? And see, God puts us in that position all the time. Yeah, I remember what it was like when I was going to surgery. You can die in surgery. Not from the surgery, but from somebody trying to move you and the breathing tube falls out your throat. That's what happened to me. That happened to me twice. They almost killed me in two surgeries on the breathing tube. Y'all can't keep the breathing tube in? You're breathing for me, but you can't keep the breathing tube. You can die in surgery. And the minutes before you go to surgery, before you go under that sweet sedation, it's so awesome. They tell you to count down from 100. It's just awesome. But you're sitting there thinking, you know, nothing matters to you. The bank account doesn't matter. The car doesn't matter. The house doesn't matter. Nothing matters. All you know is that you're going to wake up one of two places, in the recovery room or in heaven. That's awesome. Nothing matters to you. The real you. The real you without the mask. Would you even know what to do with yourself if you just took off your mask? If you just took off your illusion of control? If you just took off that tightness that you always feel like you have to fake somebody out. What if everyone knew everything about you? When you start to realize that you can't control the thoughts others have about you no matter what you do, and you combine that with what the Lord has to say about you, which is, I don't condemn you, then you're free. And most people just don't want to be free. They want to think that the Lord is condemning them. Oh my God. I guarantee you, once you start to experience that freedom, you won't know what to do with yourself. What will you obsess about then? Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the Mosaic law, the righteousness from God has been made known, being witnessed to by the Mosaic law and by the Old Testament prophets, a righteousness that comes as a free gift from God the Father through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for all those who believe, whosoever. And there are a lot of people who want you to believe that there is limited atonement. The Jehovah's Witnesses. There's only 144,000 people that are going to heaven. No. There are 144,000 Jewish witnesses in the tribulation period who finally recognize that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah. A righteousness that comes as a gift from God the Father through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for whosoever. For there is no distinction between creatures in God's mind. Romans 3:23, all creatures have sinned and fall short of the essence of God, which is not a big deal for God, yet all who believe keep on being justified, keep on being declared righteous as a free gift by means of his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. See, you being announced throughout the halls of heaven as being justified is not a one-time event. The Lord keeps on mentioning your name throughout the halls of heaven as being justified. It's continuous. And when he justifies you, you are redeemed. You're freed from prison. You're purchased from the slave market of sin. You are now his possession. He owns you, and he doesn't want you to go back into prison. And we love going back into the prison of the law. The Lord is the one who redeems you. You cannot redeem yourself. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us, purchased us from the curse of the Mosaic law. Listen to how Paul describes the Mosaic law. A curse. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the Mosaic law by being a curse for us, for it is written in Old Testament scripture, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Cursed is everyone who is crucified, and that was our Lord. Our Lord was cursed so that we wouldn't have to be cursed. Our Lord fulfilled the Mosaic law knowing that we can't. 1 Peter 2:24, the Lord Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might die to the sovereignty of the sin nature and so that we might live to divine righteousness, not human righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. No one is acceptable to God through his own works, but everyone can enjoy the righteousness of God through faith alone and Christ alone for salvation. He is the atonement. He is the law. He is grace. He is love. He is all those things that we need. And all we have to do is reach out and grab it. It's too easy. For us. Not for him. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Make it a habit to pray. In everything, give thanks, for this is God the Father's will for you who are in union with Christ Jesus. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Do not fear. Stand back and see the deliverance of the Lord, which he'll accomplish for you today. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Closing song, God is in control.
Forever. God is in control. Watching over me.
Watching over everything.
Watching over everything.
Watching over you.
Watching over every little sparrow, every little thing.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, that you have given us everything. We're grateful that we don't have to try to impress you. We're grateful that you're in control. And we ask you to help us to learn submission, to learn to put ourselves in your hands, and to trust in faith that you have our best interests in mind and that you truly mean it when you say you'll work all things together for divine good. I pray for all those who are having health issues right now. I pray for all those who are having relationship issues. I pray for all those who are confused about life. I pray for all those who are being persecuted, especially our brethren in foreign countries who are being prevented from studying together. I pray for those who lack. And I pray that you answer our prayers and place our petitions with the names and faces that you know only too well and provide for them. We ask all these things through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.